Titans are in mandatory minicamp, which means everybody's on hand. Doesn't mean everybody's on the field. There have been some noticeable names not practicing this week, but Brian Callahan, of course, is painting a rosy picture in regard to pretty much everybody and their availability for training camp and the season and whatnot. The good news of the week, I guess, or the most newsy development is that second round pick Trevondre Sweat signed his contract, which completed the draft class. Everybody is under contract now. There will be no free training camp drama, which seemed to be the case a remarkably high percentage of the time under John Robinson, given the nature of rookie contracts and the rookie pool and whatnot these days. That is something the Titans won't have to worry about this year. Everybody will be signed and ready to go at that point. But as we bring in John Glennon of the Nashville Post, and I, of course, am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner here on Believe in Titans, Trevondre Sweat, one of those guys, John, who's not been on the field, and no real specifics. If there's one real common thread right now from Mike Vrabel to Brian Callahan, it's that there's no desire to really go into injury discussion during the off season. We've already heard, we don't need to. I think we've heard, haven't we, there, we don't need to have an injury report right now. So, Sweat's a guy there was talk at the draft. He's too heavy. What's he going to be able to do? Should the fact that he is not practicing at this time of year be a cause for concern for people?
I think there has to be some concern. Also, not a huge, a five alarm kind of situation, but I think if you're looking for good news, Brian Callahan has said that whatever it is that the injury he's dealing with does not appear to be a long term. He says he'll definitely be ready for training camp, at the end of July. He didn't rule out. He said there's even a possibility even next week, which is the last week for OTAs, that he might get on the practice field then. Seems doubtful, in my opinion, that you'd want to risk a guy, just for a couple OTAs. In that sort of situation, but you never know. But as you said, here's a guy that the Titans took, and there were questions about him. A lot of questions, and one of them was conditioning. I mean, he's a huge individual, a lot of weight, over 360 pounds, and that was one of the concerns. Is he going to be able to handle the rigors of the NFL on a regular basis? Are we going to see conditioning issues that result in, injuries? So I think that's, has to be an immediate concern there. And then also, you only get one, obviously, only one rookie off season. And, I think that tends to be a pretty critical learning period for rookies, as they transition from the college level to the NFL. And Trevondre Sweat is missing it. We haven't seen him on the field since that rookie mini camp, which was in early May. The media hasn't been out there every single day. So there may have been other days, but I think it's pretty safe to say he's been out for a long time. And I can understand, I think, if Titans fans out there sort of feeling a little bit of draft PTSD or draft pick PTSD, regarding previous high draft picks who've missed a chunk of time in their rookie off season. When you look back, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, Treylon Burks, Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson, certainly, missed good chunks of this rookie off season, whether that was injury, whether that was illness, poor conditioning, COVID was a situation too. For Jeffrey Simmons, everything turned out just fine. It didn't prove to be a big deal that he was missing, that he missed a fair chunk of that first off season. The other three guys, and obviously impeded the start that they got in the NFL. And really, none of those guys has ever shined, to the extent certainly that was expected of them. And I think to some extent, missing that first chunk of that first rookie offseason plays at least a little bit of a part in what's happened since.
Yeah, you see that with guys, and I think of Corey Davis specifically. You go back, Derek Morgan was the same way. These guys who go through the pre-draft process and don't work on football conditioning, whether it's all the meetings you're taking. I would imagine, I can't say this for certain, but when you're talking about a guy who's as big as Sweat is, and who had the concerns that or the questions about him that he did. You can imagine this is a guy who did very specific combine slash, pro day type training, to make sure he could move the way he needed to move and do those sorts of things. And that sort of stuff does not leave you ready to do football things. It's been proven time and time again. And the question is, at what point does he get there, and when he does he have enough of a base to continue through an entire season? Derek Morgan, his rookie season was basically a lost cause. Corey Davis missed the first 5 weeks of the regular season. I think it was maybe it was 4 weeks. It was 4 or 5 weeks before he finally got in there. And it's a very real thing. And I think for a guy like Sweat, it's a very real possibility that, he could be dealing with nagging things all throughout this year. And the idea of him playing seven, eight, nine games in a row, it could be a stretch. It's certainly worth watching. That the key for him will be when training camp comes. Is he on the field at the start of training camp? Does he make it through training camp without incident? Because if he does that, then you can say, okay, he has a solid base under him now, and you can expect a little bit more. But at this point, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm like you. I'm absolutely holding my breath over this, and trying to hope the Titans get something significant out of this guy this year, and not just a bunch of rehab stories, or how well he's doing, how hard he's attacking his rehab, and how much they're looking forward to seeing him next season, because we've seen those sorts of things with this team.
Yeah, I was going to say to your point, Burks is certainly a perfect example of that too. He missed such a good chunk of that off season, with the poor conditioning, with the allergies and so forth. And the thought was initially that, okay, it's all going to be behind him now. Once he gets into training camp, everything's going to be fine. It was not. It was, for the first maybe, few days, week or so, it was. But again, those nagging things, conditioning, et cetera, and just the lack of knowledge too, continued to sort of chip away at that base and affected him, throughout the entire season. And obviously, still things aren't nearly as good as either Burks or the Titans would like.
Yeah, and you mentioned Treylon Burks. One of the more interesting developments, I think, so far of this offseason is, and I think if you had taken a step back and thought about this, it shouldn't be surprising. Treylon Burks and Caleb Farley, who you also referenced here a short time ago, recent first round draft picks, both playing a lot of special teams, or at least getting a lot of special teams work in during these OTA and mini camp workouts. And I think if you're I you know to me, that says if you're looking for signs, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic about this team, this is among them, because in recent years the Titans counted on Farley and Burks right out of the gate as a rookie. You trade AJ Brown to get the draft pick you used to pick Treylon Burks, and say, well, they're very similar receivers. I mean, it was clear how much the Titans were expecting from him. Farley, they were hopeful after him, his injury issues, and not having played football for a year coming into the NFL. But In the last couple of years, going into last year, the Titans were looking at Caleb Farley as potentially, maybe even probably a starter, based on the fact that he was a first round pick. And certainly with Burks, that was the case. And so here you have two recent first round draft picks who are, if they're going to be on the roster, if they're going to be on the depth chart, they're going to be in places that have to contribute on special teams. And I think that we've talked about Burks here and the fact that he's probably number four at best, and if he plays like the best number four wide receiver in the league, that's great, which you certainly think he would have the potential to do that. But the fact that he clearly is number four means they are not counting on him the way they have counted on him in recent years because, oh, by the way, they have DeAndre Hopkins, they have Calvin Ridley, they have Tyler Boyd, they have guys who have proven they can perform and put up numbers consistently in this league in a way Burks hasn't. And, same thing with Farley. Oh, by the way, they have L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie and Roger McCreary ahead of him now. And if Farley plays like a first round draft pick, great, but you're not counting on him to do that right now. And this season in both those cases now, it feels like much less of a gamble than it's been in recent years.
I agree with you, and I think to your point also. Yeah, I think it's more that the Titans are looking at those players differently right now, as opposed to the Titans looking at them as first round guys with a lot of potential. It's a more realistic look at where those guys stand right now. That maybe there is still some potential, but you're going to have to show it to me before I believe anything. And that's again. When you're the fourth best receiver at best, and when you're fighting for a spot on the roster, a cornerback, these are the kinds of guys that have to contribute on special teams. And the interesting point too is that, like, both these guys, their physical makeup, if they're at the top of their health and so forth, they should be really good special teams players. I mean, you hate to say that at this point, in their careers, that hey, these first round picks should be great special teamers, but they really should be. I mean, we know about Burks's size and strength and so forth. And he took a lot of reps as gunner. They both took a lot of reps as gunner. So he looks like he should be the kind of guy that can win a lot of battles outside, get down there and take care of kick returners as well. And I thought it was interesting too. That Brian Callahan didn't necessarily rule out the possibility of Treylon Burks as a return guy in the kick game too. You know how different the kick return game is obviously going to be this year, and I think it's probably going to be less of an emphasis on, hey, we got to have a really fast guy back there, and maybe more of an emphasis on, hey, how about a guy who can get some yards after contact. Who's able to hold on to the football, who's used to taking hits out there pretty regularly. So, you get the sense that Burks would be, pretty solid in that role too. But yeah, I think in Farley's case, I think he was, he's got a year more, through his contract. He's a year closer maybe to the Titans saying, look, sorry, this isn't going to work. So I think he is probably as happy as can be to contribute anywhere that he can at this point. And if it's only special teams, I think Caleb Farley would be more than happy just to make the roster and just to be able to contribute on special teams.
Yeah, it's I feel like he's a long shot even at this point. But it could be one of those things too with a new coaching staff, a new training staff, all that, fresh start for him just from any perspective you want to look at it is probably a good thing. Moving on, as happens a lot at this time of year, attention, I think, turns to the quarterback, particularly a young quarterback in the case of the Titans, and certainly Will Levis Will Levis has gotten his share of pub lately. There was a big piece by Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, who spent time with Levis and Brian Callahan, breaking down his game. I would encourage you to go read that at some point. Watching him in person, reporters, the reports this week have all been pretty comparable. Folks acknowledging that Levis has been far from perfect. He's had his ups, he's had his downs. One day this week, not so good, particularly in some red zone work. The next day, much better. What do you make of Will Levis's off season to this point, John?
Certainly don't think it's been perfect by any stretch. And again, we're talking about this in early June right now, so this isn't a huge, again, not a huge five alarm, kind of situation to me. But yeah, there have been instances where he has been throwing late to receivers, kind of maybe waiting for receivers to get open instead of leading them into openings. Times that he's been a little bit behind receivers as well. And we're not saying this is happening on every throw, but maybe probably a little bit more than you would like to see. And there are a couple. I look back at Tuesday's practice in the bubble. There were a couple of deep shots I think Will Levis would have liked to have back. One to Burks, who'd gotten a couple steps on a defensive back. He threw a decent ball, but it was sort of off to the sideline and a little bit behind Burks, and Burks had to do a lot of twisting and couldn't come down with it. It should have been a better pass. There was another time it looked like I believe it was NWI. He had open for a big gain downfield as well. Took a little too long to throw it again. Roger McCreary was able to recover, knocked the pass down. But I think there are disclaimers here as well that we have to throw in. The first one to me, obviously, is these are literally the first few weeks of a quarterback who's learning his second offense in as many years, and one that's no doubt different, very different from one he learned with Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly as well. So I think we have to look at the fact that we're probably seeing a little hesitation as a result of that, and that's probably why some of these throws are a little bit late or a little bit behind, or he's not leading receivers yet. There's just that little split second maybe of indecision because he's not completely familiar, as he probably will be, in training camp. Second, let's face it, two of the top three new receivers, Calvin Ridley or Tyler Boyd, are brand new to Will Levis. We all know how often the whole idea of chemistry becomes so important between quarterbacks and receivers. That's something that's got to be worked on. Again, this is off season. This is early June, so steps have to be taken there. And then it's been well documented too. I think I wrote about it this week as well. That Will Levis has, kind of tweak some things in his mechanics. The long-term goal here is that kind of a more stable base will produce a more accurate thrower. Completion percentage is one of the key things that he has to improve on for next year. So, and also keeping his elbow a little bit higher than he does at times. So when you put all those factors together, and I think, as I said, especially the kind of the tweaks and the mechanics too, I think you have to understand there's going to be some bumps in the road, and that obviously this is the time to work those kind of things out. This is the off season, and to me, I'm still going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that once training camp begins, once you get a few weeks into training camp and you're running these plays and you're getting these reps over and over and you're becoming more familiar with not only the system but with the receivers, I would expect to see a better Will Levis. We'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Sports Illustrated piece talked a lot about those sorts of things where, Brian Callahan basically said a lot of the errors you saw were not because of he's not skilled enough or he's not athletic enough or whatever. It's coaching points. It's teaching him to think about what he sees in this particular way. It's about teaching him to get his feet set in a certain way and whatnot. And you know, it comes down to, and to me, the question is, what about playing quarterback can be coached, and what about that particular position, which we all know is the hardest position in sports, is just natural ability to do it, particularly when I think it comes when you're talking about processing the information. It's one thing to say, okay, I know my first progression is to the right side, and then I go to the guy in the middle, and then I work my way to the left side of the field. I imagine, having never played quarterback in a real organized football game, did it certainly in plenty of backyard games, but you know, I imagine when you drop back and you've got 300-pound men rushing at you, and things are happening downfield, it is a remarkably different experience than just thinking, okay, I know my progressions are. You know, some guys probably can slow down their minds and go through the progressions and think about that thing exactly as they do on the practice field. A lot of other guys don't. And you know, when you see how emotionally Will Levis plays the game, that's my question with him, is can he dial his mind and his emotions back enough to cut through the clutter and do that? Will that come with experience with him? The other thing with the footwork and the arm position and all that, experience tells me that's all fine and dandy at this time of the year. But same sort of thing. When guys get into the fire, they kind of just go back to what they do naturally. And I mean, the good news with Will Levis is he's got the arm. You know, whether his feet are in the right position or not, that guy's got a cannon that he's always going to be able to unload the ball. He's going to be able to get the ball deep downfield. He's going to, you know, he's going to. But these similar sorts of conversations happened with Vince Young and with Jake Locker and with Marcus Mariota, and none of those guys, when their Titans time was done, I don't think anybody would say, oh yeah, they had perfect technique after spending 4 or 5 years working on it here with the Titans. I think you can make minimal gains there, but I think with Levis, it to a certain degree, you're just going to have to leave him alone and let him chuck it and hope you can teach him to play the position in a way that he will make the better decisions, which will lead to improved completion percentage, and you know, we'll see. It's again, it's as you say, he's a second year guy. He didn't start all of last year. He's in a new offense. He's a guy who had a couple different, you know, played at two different colleges, and so never had a lot of consistency. You know, I don't know, going back to his high school days, but certainly this is a guy who has dealt with change and will continue to deal with change. And you know, maybe now a couple of years under Brian Callahan will sort all this stuff out. That's well down the road though, and a lot to think about. It as we move toward the end of things here and talk about Brian Callahan, I think we talked about this a little bit once before, but it's come up again, where Chig Okonkwo now has been the latest of the Titans to talk about how things are under the current coaching staff, and that is to say that they are more relaxed, and that these coaches are sort of letting players set their own mood and set their own you know, tempo, I guess, to a certain degree, in terms of how they go about their business within the meeting rooms, on the practice field, and whatnot. And Okonkwo, for one, has said that he likes it, and that he thinks it will, quote, help us be more free. You know, John, was Mike Vrabel too much of a tyrant? Do these guys need a little longer leash right now?
Well, you know, as we see in all sports, I think, you know, a lot of times when you have a coach like a Mike Vrabel, who's a tough guy, you know, kind of a disciplinary guy, a very, you know, detail oriented guy, certainly, and a guy who could be harsh. No doubt about it. I think sometimes teams benefit from sort of a little bit of a tilt to the opposite angle in the next coach. And so far, as best we can tell, that seems to be the case with Brian Callahan, who's a very even-tempered guy, who seems to be the kind of guy who, I mean, he's got a good sense of humor. He seems very relatable. The interactions we see with him and players seem to be, a very easygoing sort of situation, and maybe that helps in general. But yeah, I've been interested to hear some of those comments too. Chigo Conquo definitely, made it sound as if there's a clear change in locker room, on the field. You kind of felt like some players were almost like exhaling a little bit, like, this is a nice fresh start. We've got somebody new up top. Harold Landry just the other day, when he was talking in his kind of first availability, he was sort of asked about, the change. And Harold Landry was a guy who was very close with Vrabel, and I think he's maybe the most tenured defender right now as well. And without specifically saying this is what Vrabel was like, this is what Callahan is like, Landry said at least two or three times that the energy level is at an all-time high right now in the locker room. To me, without naming names, that seems pretty significant when you consider how long Harold Landry has been around and some of the good times that he saw with the Titans too. So, and there have been other guys too who have said they've really talked about benefiting from a kind of a fresh start. Josh Wiley was another guy. Even Caleb Farley today, made some references that made me think. Again, guys are sort of taking that big exhale and enjoying a kind of a new culture. And sort of the last point, I think it makes me think back to the early days after AJ Brown was traded to Philadelphia. And it was probably a few months in that AJ Brown talked about, being able to express himself more with the Eagles, that he felt freer and so forth. And a lot of people, and myself included in that, were pretty critical of AJ Brown, because to me it sounded like a little bit of sour grapes of a guy like who probably would have liked to have been here and was kind of trying to talk up his new team as opposed to his old team. But honestly, now the more people or the more players you hear that kind of talk from, the more maybe you kind of get the sense that there things were a little bit heavy under Mike Vrabel, and things aren't as heavy right now under Brian Callahan.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bill Walsh, the great Bill Walsh, famously said some probably what 40, 45 years ago that that coaches and executives shouldn't stay with the same team for more than 10 years. That things get stale, and there was talk for a long time about the 10-year rule. We all know athletes are different now than they were back in the 70s and 80s, and maybe the 10-year rule is now the 5-year rule, and because it's not that Mike Vrabel isn't a good coach. Mike Vrabel has the record and the award and the playoff wins to show that he can coach in this league, but maybe the message just wears a little thin over time and quicker than it used to, even for a guy who had success. And certainly, last year when things weren't going well, then it becomes harder. So I think the lesson here is probably change is good. Not to say that things were bad before, but just that change is good, and people welcome that and enjoy that. And whether that's worth a few wins or not, you can never quantify that. But I think we all know if you feel good going to work, you tend to be more productive. Hope presumably the Titans are getting a lot done during these OTAs and mini camps then. But we are done with this episode of Believe in Titans.